Good morning, I'm Tara Seiler, in for Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. An independent review panel set up by state regulators to investigate last September's pipeline explosion in San Bruno, just south of San Francisco, is set to unveil its findings this morning. Meanwhile, a federal official investigating the explosion visited the site Wednesday and once again blasted PG&E, this time for failing to reveal until just recently that the same pipeline sprang a leak back in 1988. That leak was about 9 miles away from the September rupture. National Transportation Safety Board Chair Deborah Hirschman called the revelation troubling and another indication of PG&E's shoddy record-keeping. Authorities say a massive gang sweep in the Central Valley has crippled a branch of the notorious Nuestra Familia. The gang is tied to state prisons and Mexican drug cartels. Attorney General Kamala Harris says federal, state, and local authorities have arrested more than 100 alleged gang members in Merced and Madera counties.
There were crimes that relate from attempted murder to trafficking of drugs to possession of assault weapons. These gangs are increasingly sophisticated and connected up and down the I-5 across the state.
This is the fifth and largest sweep targeting gang members from the Central Valley to the Central Coast over the last 2 years. If there's going to be an on-time budget for state government, you wouldn't know it by the proposal now teed up in the legislature. On Wednesday, budget writers in both houses approved a spending plan that relies on the voters approving additional taxes. But first, those taxes would have to be approved by the legislature. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers explains.
The budget plan that moved forward Wednesday relies on $8 billion in additional tax revenues. And here's where Governor Brown is in a political jam and in need of a temporary fix from the legislature.
I'm asking them to extend the taxes till the people vote on it this fall.
In a phone interview Wednesday, Brown said that's now the only option. His original plan, based on a campaign promise, was to have the voters weigh in first. But Republicans would not go along, and now they are attempting to portray the governor's new strategy as him breaking his promise. Republican Assemblymember Dan Logue put it this way.
I'm very concerned about perception, but the public's going to see this as a shell game where we're shifting and changing the rules in the middle of the game.
The debate over an election and the additional taxes on income, sales, and vehicles remains the real fight. Democrats and the governor now agree on a budget plan, one with fewer cuts to child care and one that pays off more of the debt owed to schools. With Republicans opposing the tax plan and Democrats opposing any more cuts, things seem stuck. And next week, a new wrinkle, one the public will probably love. An initiative approved by voters last November says legislators will stop being paid on June 15th if there's no budget. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
San Francisco voters will have an opportunity this November to approve the first ban on male circumcision in the U.S. The ballot measure is generating impassioned controversy. The California Report's Rachel Miro has more.
You'll have to forgive one of San Francisco's newest residents. He's a little bit fussy after his nap, but Shea Buskirk's parents, Ned and Sarah, couldn't be happier with their 8-week-old baby boy.
He was born here at home, right over there on the rug.
There were no complications and no questions about a circumcision. Sarah and Ned both knew they didn't want one for Shea.
For me, it came down to, is there enough information pointing to me needing to physically hurt or mutilate my child? Is that something that I need to do?
They wouldn't presume to choose for other parents, but that's what's on the ballot in San Francisco this fall, a measure that would make circumcising a male minor a misdemeanor, except in cases of medical necessity. Lloyd Schofield proposed the measure. He represents a loose coalition of people who call themselves intactivists. They formed a group called San Francisco MGM Bill, a.k.a. Male Genital Mutilation.
It's not necessary to do, and if someone wants to do have themselves circumcised when they're 18, that's their choice to make for whatever reason, religious or whatever reason.
If the bill is enacted, anybody caught circumcising a boy could face a $1,000 fine or a year in jail. The bill includes no religious exemption.
Anyone could come up and say, well, this is my belief, and I need to circumcise my child. So it would be pointless to have a religious exemption.
San Francisco MGM Bill is an offshoot of MGM Bill in San Diego. Matthew Hess wrote the measure. He's spent the past decade trying unsuccessfully to get a sponsor for bills at the state and national levels. Hess is also an animator, and his comic book depictions on his website of ultra-Orthodox Jewish circumcisers, or Moyles, have sparked widespread condemnation and cries of anti-Semitism. Quoting one caption here, "Nothing excites Monster Moyle more than cutting into the infantile penile flesh of an eight-day-old boy." Schofield says he hasn't had a chance to talk to Hess about the comic books.
The Moyle did not get treated very nicely, but the doctor in his first comic got treated even worse. That being said, they did make me uncomfortable. I understood where they were coming from, but I could see how easily they could cause offense.
Hess has defended his comics on Twitter, writing that, quote, "those who cut innocent children will be drawn like the villains that they are." Rabbi Josh Strulowitz of Congregation Adath Israel says circumcision is central to the Jewish faith for a number of reasons. He finds the measure dangerous as a Jew, but also as a San Franciscan.
It threatens a liberal society. It's so dictatorial. It's so over the top. Limiting choice like this would be damaging to the very values that San Francisco wants to represent.
Some pediatricians and public health advocates have also expressed concern. Studies conducted in Africa indicate circumcision can lessen the risk of sexually transmitted diseases, particularly HIV/AIDS. Similar studies have not been conducted in the U.S. So far, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has yet to issue formal guidance on the practice of male infant circumcision. In the perinatal mom-baby unit at UC San Francisco's Children's Hospital, pediatrics professor Carol Ann Miller says she's performed thousands of complication-free circumcisions over the last 30 years.
The data that we have available from science really is not compelling enough to strongly recommend for or against circumcision. There are certainly benefits that have been demonstrated, and there are risks, although the risks are minimal.
Following the media firestorm that erupted as a result of the San Francisco measure and the Hess cartoons, the Santa Monica Intactivist who proposed a ballot measure there withdrew that bid Tuesday. Whether San Francisco voters are willing to ban it from their city limits is something we'll have to wait till November to find out. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, June 9th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Tara Seiler. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.